Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines.
Well, Christmas time is certainly coming. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's November 28th, 2012. I'll begin a reading from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh, man, dozens of different points of application. A great message. Just love this passage, and it was in part of my devotional reading today, Jason. And after I finished purging for the last 5 or 10 minutes, thank you for staying with me and being available today on this, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. So I'm just glad you're here and that you're a friend. And I was sharing with you how God really did some things in my life these last few days. And my learning curve was great. And I just thank him for just the different lessons we can learn as we read his scripture. And just to know that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Mm-hmm. What a message for all of us.
Yeah.
Works that he had prepared in advance for us to do. So being attentive, being sensitive, being engaged in his plan, being aware of how the Holy Spirit might be guiding or leading or directing. And that's just something that I think as all of us, as we wake up each and every day and we ask, Lord, order my steps, he will. And he does have some plans and purposes for this very day for your lives.
You want me to talk about it?
So, Jason, any thoughts?
Well, there's yeah. Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot happening in this passage. This passage is pretty key for our lives in Christ. You know, it begins and it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. And so we know that in our sins and our transgressions, it's like a death. And why is it a death? Well, it's a death because later on we find out, like you read in the last, that we were created in Christ Jesus. Verse 10 is powerful because verse 10 answers a lot of questions for us. You know, what are the most powerful questions people ask themselves? Who, what, where, when, why, and how? I mean, it's a question that people ask all the time. Well, this answers most of those questions. The who, you know, who are you? Well, you're God's workmanship. Why are you? To do good works. When? Well, they were done in advance, and now those good works are to be carried out by you. So it's now in this moment. It's not some special moment over the hill, but it's right now. I mean, you can go through and the myriad of questions. Anytime you sit and you go, like, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not popular enough, I'm not successful enough, really, well, you're God's workmanship. And last time I checked, God didn't make shoddy things.
Not only that, but created in Christ Jesus.
That's not just it. You're God's workmanship. So God's the workman, okay? And then because God's the workman and God, we know about the character of God. God's loving and he's faithful and he's intentional. I mean, read Genesis chapter 1 and make a list of the ways that God creates the world. We pick up how God is, how God works. Okay? Now, what is God's material? You're created in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus being this perfect thing, perfect person. So God uses the most perfect materials. You're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus being the perfect materials that God used to construct your life, available to you to construct your life. And why do you need those perfect materials? Because you're created to do good works. And what are those good works? Well, once again, God loves you so much that he didn't throw you out there without a compass or a GPS or a plan. He's written a plan because he prepared these things in advance for you to do. Harry knows what you're going to do. The only difference between you doing those things and not doing those things is you. Mm-hmm. Is you, because you'll sit there and you'll have a pity party and you'll go, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not successful enough, I'm not all these things. So last time I checked, your God's workmanship, God doesn't make shoddy things. And by the way, God uses the best materials. He uses his son, Christ Jesus himself, as the material for your life-changing event. We see that up higher. It's grace you've been saved. God offers you this unmerited favor. It was Christmas morning at your house and you didn't deserve it. You should have gotten coal in your stocking. But instead, while you were still a sinner, God sent Christ to the cross so that he could change your life. And then God sends the Holy Spirit. See, look at God. Not only does he create you with his own hands, not only does he use the best materials, Christ Jesus, but then he sends you the ultimate GPS, which is the Holy Spirit, to help keep you on track. It's a great passage here, Ephesians, you know, chapter 2, 1 through 10. And it comes off of... It really fascinating is that if you were to have heard this in the original Greek and you were to, and even probably those who might have heard it in Hebrew or Aramaic, depending on that, but Paul would have written this in Greek. It has a very liturgical feel to it. There wouldn't have been the chapter divisions. It would have been sung or read in such a way that it begins with worship, with doxology and thanksgiving and prayer, and then it launches into the gospel message. I mean, think about this in terms of almost like church. It opens up with a thanksgiving and a prayer and a doxology, and then it goes from there into the message of salvation, who it is, who Christ is, and what he is. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions where you used to live. I mean, imagine reading this for the first time into a group of people, maybe some of them not having ever been saved before, not knowing who this Jesus is. They just stumbled into the house church or the synagogue or the court where this was being read for the first time in Ephesus. And somebody saying, since then you were dead in your transgressions. And as this thing builds, people going, yes, yes, I mean, by grace I can be saved. Oh my God, and I am God's workmanship. I thought I was a slave. I thought I was the less than. I thought I was the bottom third. No way. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, by the way, that he prepared in advance. Your life has a purpose that you don't even know it. But you know what the problem is, and it's earlier in the passage here, is where was your obedience? Because that's why it says you followed other things. You walked behind other things. You allowed the ruler of the air. Notice Satan's just a ruler of one thing. You allow the ruler of the air to govern your life, and God rules everything. And by the way, he wants to rule your life too. He wants to rule your heart. And so it says, and now are at work at those who are disobedient. So it's, where is your obedience? Is it your life in the world or your life in Christ? You know, and it's really an interesting dichotomy, because we're all in the world. When somebody says, oh, don't live of the world, or he's living of the world, that gets me all fired up, because I'm like, you're in the world. I mean, where are your feet? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that we're like selling people short when we say that, don't live of the world. Or, you know, people say like, oh, that's fleshly. And I understand from the spiritual connotation what we're saying. But the problem is a non-Christian person goes, well, I mean, I got flesh. I mean, what am I, you know, I'm living in the flesh. I mean, I don't get a choice.
Well, then some of those people, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Have you
right.
heard that
Oh,
before?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, we've got to be careful how we say things, because the Christians understand you. But how do you reach the non-Christians? Because, you know, what don't we have when we get to heaven? Non-Christians. So let's take advantage of the one resource that we have while we're here, and that's non-Christians, meeting them so that they can hear the gospel and they can glorify God by coming into the kingdom. More people in the kingdom of God glorifies God. More people in Champaign, Urbana, East West Indiana. I mean, all those places, more people knowing who God is glorifies God. More people realizing they're God's workmanship, that they were created in Christ Jesus, that they have good works that have been placed upon their life, that they've been sent to do something. There is something. Everybody, there is something that God has planned and purposed into your life. And if you haven't found it, maybe you need to check the GPS, because maybe you're not close to God. Every time I've been off track, by the way, I want to right the ship here for those of us who are Christian. It is possible in our Christian chest beating, we'll believe that we're in the right place with God and go, oh, I just don't know. Maybe it's one of those seasons where I don't hear his voice, right? God's not speaking to me. Maybe he's teaching me something right now. And then you get down the road and you go, I totally wasn't in the right place then. I mean, no wonder I didn't hear God's voice. I was off track. And it is possible that you might be off track. That doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. That doesn't mean that you've lost your ability to follow Jesus. It means that you're part of this fallen world and you get off track sometimes. And some of us need to stop, pause, and check the GPS. Somebody said that to me a number of weeks ago. In relationship to the Holy Spirit, they said, check the GPS. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He acts as this guidance system for us. When we get off track, he goes, turn left, turn left. You know, and we need to hear that. And some of us get so caught up in being great Christians that we forget to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Do you want a case in point?
Give it to me.
True confession?
Give it to me.
Hey, bear with me, everyone. Don't write the board on me on this one. No, this was a life lesson that I learned recently. And gosh, I have so many different thoughts. Let me, before I share this little story example where God brought really healthy and true and good and profitable conviction to my life where I was missing the mark. I wasn't in tune to the Holy Spirit.
That's kind of funny. You were missing the mark?
I love when people say they have a question and I'll say, do you have a question mark? Yeah, I'm missing the mark. I think I was too full of mark at the time. That was the problem. One other thing I was thinking as you were talking about, we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And for that listener that's tuned in that's saying, like you had said, maybe they don't have the gifts or the resources or whatever, but God has made us all entirely unique. No two of us are alike. And so what I always, my default is, you only exist because God desired to have you in his creation. I mean, you are unique and special and irreplaceable, and none of us are alike. And the very point, I guess, or the very circumstance that you exist meant that God wanted you in his creation. He wants you for all eternity, but there's that choice that you have to make to follow him, to surrender him. But the mere fact that you're alive is because God wanted it that way.
Yeah, and let's understand that the difference between what we believe unique is and what God sees unique is, because some of us look for the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And they go, well, I must not be successful unless I'm making a lot of money. I must not be successful unless I have a lot of things. I must not be successful unless I have the perfect family. And you don't even realize what your contribution is. You may never. You may be up in heaven looking down and going, oh my word. I mean, I touched that person who touched that person who touched that person who touched that person, and I changed something and I didn't even know it. I mean, can you accept following Jesus and being second or third in line to doing something really, really powerful and just being part of the chain of occurrences and not standing there when it happens? Can you be part of the people who built the building and not be the guy who cuts the ribbon?
Right. Or the individual that led somebody to Christ, that led somebody to Christ, that led Billy Graham to Christ. Or
exactly.
Whoever the person is. Yeah. No, that's important. We always have to use our measuring stick, if you will, according to God's plan or the biblical narrative that we're all created in Christ Jesus, that we're God's workmanship, so we're valuable, end of conversation. We're valuable
right
in God's economy. Well, here was a life lesson that I learned, and the first time I was sharing it the morning after the incident, I was in tears about it, so hopefully I can get through this, because I've shared it with a couple friends, and it was one of those unique moments where God just clearly brought healthy conviction. I wasn't being shamed. I didn't do anything overtly really, really bad. In fact, some of the people around me said, no, Mark, you did everything right. You should be praised and encouraged. But I knew in my heart of hearts, God was saying, Mark, it was because you didn't want to be inconvenienced. And I think I missed a divine appointment, if you will. And here was the storyline. I was at Arizona for the Thanksgiving weekend, and thank you, God, that I was able to fly out quickly and visit with family and a few friends and then return back. And also, thank you, God, for how you can teach old dogs new tricks. I had to call in those of you that were tuned in to 89.3 FM. A few days while I was gone, it was off the air, and I was able to fix it remotely, and then it went off the air again. So we had some issues. And Sunday morning when Karen was at church and Dwayne was out of town and I couldn't get Max over to the tower, he was at church, and so we were off the air for a period of time. But anyways, as I was flying back, I was at the Dallas airport. I got to talk with Karen. She kind of got the procedures down. Well, then it went off the air again, and she walked Max Norman, who's 86, 87, through the procedures that I just taught her, and he got us back on the air. So thank you, God, that that all worked out. And then my mom also learned how to operate and use a laptop computer. So there were some really neat things that happened. But there I'm out in Arizona. I'm across from my mom. It's about 6:30 in the evening. It's dark out. And we're just talking, and suddenly there's a knock on the sliding glass door, which is very unusual where she lives, that somebody would be knocking on the door. Anyways, I pull the curtains to the side, and I see this person there, and I'm thinking, is this my nephew? It was a person in a sweatshirt with the hood over, and I was thinking, who is this? And somebody saying, hey, water? And I'm like, what? And so I open the sliding glass door, and it's this probably 20-year-old girl, I don't know, maybe 18, I don't know, I'm not sure. Biggest black eye I've ever seen in my whole life. Her tooth is broken. Her lip is all, she's talking like she can barely open her mouth. There's stitches all across. She's obviously been battered. And I'm just like totally caught off guard. And I said, like, can I help you? She said, I just need a glass of water. Could I have a glass of water? And I'm like, sure, come on in. And my mom gets a glass of water, and she said, well, I want to take it to go. Can I have the glass? And so, you know, we said, sure. And anyways, I said, can I give you a ride or something? Because this girl had been brutalized, no doubt about it. No woman, no matter how terrible they are, should ever be brutalized like that. So I'm just like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And she could barely talk. And she said she needed the water to rinse her mouth so an infection or something would set in. But there were some other parts to the story that didn't seem like they were above board. And we're thinking, what's going on here? Why is she really here? And then she said something about, well, she was at the shopping mall and somebody robbed her of her cash. And yet it didn't, you know, as you're using discernment and judgment, I'm thinking something doesn't seem really right here. But anyway, she got her water and then left and walked away. And so then my mom and I, and here was the one of the things God taught me, we then, you know, fear is never of God.
Right.
And we start thinking, maybe she was casing the place. Maybe she had a boyfriend out there, and he had battered her for drug money and said, you got to go out and get something. And so we're thinking only the worst.
Right.
Instead, and I'll tell you the life lessons after I finish part two of the story, but we were only thinking the worst. And I was just thinking, that's kind of interesting. But we were like, Mom, one of the life lessons is you are never to allow anyone into your trailer home. No matter what, no matter if they're in need, because you never know. And my mom, you know, is a sweet, I won't say naive, but she would let anyone in thinking only the best when it could lead to, you know, a harmful situation. So I said, Mom, I was here, so it was okay, but never are you to let anyone in that door. Mm-hmm. I said, call Stu, call a neighbor, but never allow someone because you're alone. Anyway, so we talked some more about it. Then we went into the other room. We were watching some TV. And an hour or two later, there was a knock on the front door.
It's me again. Can I have a ride?
And what I found myself thinking is, oh, it's late at night. I'm sitting here with my mom. I don't want to be inconvenienced. And I said, hey, we're through for the night. Sorry. And anyways, she left. My mom and I again then speculate. I wonder if they were back casing the house, seeing if we were still here, you know, and thinking only the worst. Anyways, so I go to bed later that night. Wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm just thinking about it. And the conviction, the real healthy conviction, is like, Lord, we never even got her name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never even, and my mom's a spiritual woman, but neither one of us even thought, even after turning her away, we didn't even say, let's pray for her. And so I share that because it's like, Lord, I'm so intentional on growing. I'm so intentional on wanting to be in the center of your will, of being a godly man. Why didn't I even pause to say, hey, Mom, I'm going to go outside and talk with this gal. I'm going to get to know her name. I'm going to see if there's anything I can do. She's probably lying about her whole story of just needing water. But regardless, I should at the least say, do you know Jesus? Or is there a way I could pray for you? And what I just learned through that conviction and through the thinking it through, you know, Lord, I have a long way to go, a long way to grow through this. Mm-hmm. But Lord, help me be more sensitive or intentional on sharing your good news message. Help me be more caring. Here's a gal that was battered, beat up. at the least I should have gotten her name. And, you know, my mom and everything, oh, Mark, you were protecting me. Oh, Mark, you were doing this. Mark, you offered to give her a ride initially. And it's like, yeah, I did some good things, but I missed out on an opportunity because I didn't want to be inconvenienced. Generally, the Lord will work when it is inconvenient. That's when he's going to do a supernatural work. That's when I needed to get off the couch and go out there and at the least talk with her. Now, others would say, well, maybe she was a druggie and manipulate. And it's like, hey, you know, I can hold my own. I could have discerned some things, but I never got her name. And I think a part of it was I just didn't want to be inconvenienced. Anyways, so we prayed later on, you know, that morning for her. And I said, Lord, give me another opportunity. Have her return. Because who knows that God wasn't orchestrating. The light was on in this trailer home. We were safe people for her. She was obviously not around safe people, whether it was a boyfriend or a live-in, or maybe she did get mugged. We could have been that refuge for her. And it's like, I just saw that we missed an opportunity. But anyway, that's kind of one of those things where here I am, a spiritual, godly man, and it's like, totally missed that one. Totally missed that one.
That's why the Bible, I think, makes such powerful mention, and it does here in Ephesians a little bit later in 19, of the foreigners and the aliens. Hmm. And even here it says, you know, that consequently you're no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens. And if God's people would really understand that we're, and if I would really understand sometimes that we're fellow citizens, that the playing field at the cross is level, that there's nobody bigger or less than. It's not about religion where there's steps and I get to stand on a higher step because I'm a pastor than you, but it's all about redemption, where redemption is, it's level. We all stand as fellow citizens. You're not an alien. You're not a foreigner. You're not an outsider. You're not somebody else. You're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and so am I, and therefore you have great value and I have great value, and you're not anything other than in the household. You're part of the family. But I think that's really hard for us to remember.
Well, and we can get so self-centered, preoccupied. Hey, I'm with my mom. I'm on vacation. Yeah. And that's where it's really healthy. God, amongst that time of the conviction of Mark, you didn't even get her name. Mark, you could have taken some steps. I won't beat myself up over it because God says, I love you. I care. And I really felt it was great, healthy, good conviction. But I missed the mark. I missed an opportunity at the least to have extended God's love. And my mom and everyone softened it. Oh, Mark, no, you were protecting me. It probably wouldn't have been wise. It's like, no, God, I know how God works in my heart, and I miss that. And yet I share this as an example because if something is inconvenient for you and you feel a stirring in your heart that you should do something, and yet you're thinking, oh, no, you're probably supposed to do it. And I think had I gotten off that couch, had I really opened the door, and maybe it wouldn't have been right to have brought her into the house, but to have sat outside and just said, you know, I don't really believe some of the story that you shared with me, but there's a reason you're probably lying. Are you in a safe environment? You've been beaten. Is this by somebody you know? You're saying that you were robbed, but is that really the truth? And can I pray for you or something? I think, who knows how God would have used that. And it's like, I missed an opportunity. I just know I did. But, you know, I miss opportunities every single day. But I guess I share that as an example that you can be as intentional as you want to grow and be a follower of Jesus and be a on-fire Christian, and yet you can still miss opportunities because you operate in the flesh, or you just don't want to be an inconvenience. So if you find yourself today being inconvenienced because you're helping somebody, there's probably some good fruit that's going to be born as a result of that act of obedience or following Christ. So, oh, well, anyways, we got to go, and I have some tickets to give away. I didn't even mention this. So if you stayed with me today, we have tickets to this Friday night's The Story Tour. A lot of great Christian artists. They're going to take you through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, mix in some Christmas carols and selections. And so it's Friday night, 7 p.m. These are $45 tickets each. Right now, the seventh caller at 217-367-7777 will get a pair of tickets during the morning edition of Mark and Friends. And at this point in the program, when this re-airs in the evening, at this point also the seventh caller, 217-367-7777. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.